Oh yeah. Well, that's, you don't sip a natty, you slam a natty.
What's more natural than natural light?
Yep, that's what you always say.
Yeah, I do. I went back and listened to all our episodes, of course, over time, and it's like, that's like my catchphrase.
What, slamming natties?
No, just what's more natural than natural light?
But. What's more natural? Yeah, and then you make the mimic the sound of a opening a bush.
No, it goes
natural. Hello, and thank you very much for downloading this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. You can download many more episodes at movieguyspodcast.podbean.com.
Watching this movie, Roadhouse, the remake, I said to my wife, two different groups of people are watching this movie, and only two. Women that want to see hot men with their abs, and guys that just want to see fights. That's all this movie has to offer. We're talking Jake Gyllenhaal's Roadhouse. Eric, how the hell are you doing?
You say hot guys with abs, and yet in the first opening scene, we get to see dad bod Post Malone.
Yeah, right. That was a shocker. Why are we here? Meaning, why are we doing a remake of Roadhouse? Like, not us, meaning the studio. I don't mind reviewing it and tearing it apart. I'm just asking, who woke up one day and said, hey, let's remake that 1989 classic with Jake Gyllenhaal? It's, why are we doing this?
Hollywood, it's doing the nostalgia grabs. It's struggling for ideas. And I think that they are digging for cult classics now.
And so Top Gun was successful, so we're going after this.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good way of putting that. It's like, hey, the guys who we're in that age group that like this, that movie, probably going to like this movie, and a lot of macho, I'm going to beat him up type of movie.
Yeah.
I guess that's really what it is.
Right. Which is no different from the original. I guess Patrick Swayze has a different charm. Jake Gyllenhaal is a very interesting choice. I will say, because his name was attached and he was on the cover, Jake Gyllenhaal, not all the time, sometimes, not all the time, does he generally make crap. So I'm like, okay, there has to be something in this version then that he says yes to train the way he was training, to have the physique that he has. I will share my opinions when we get to it.
Well, didn't he do another movie that was a fight? Yeah, Southpaw.
He did that like years ago, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, but it seems like after that, he was really doing, like after Nightcrawler, which he lost a lot of weight for.
Right.
It seems like after that, he's been doing these bulk up roles. And there's only a lot of these method actors, which I will consider him to be one, where they lose weight and they bulk up, like Christian Bale or Joaquin Phoenix or Jake Gyllenhaal. It really does seem unhealthy and sets a weird precedence. I understand that they're doing it for the craft, but I just don't see. Before this movie, he did Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, which I really enjoyed. Which he played,
right, you love Guy Ritchie.
Which he played, again, that's more like just guy porn, basically. Just guns
right.
Blasting. And then he did Ambulance after that, right? Or before that, Michael Bay, another guy porn kind of guy where it's just a boom, boom, blast. And let's ask questions later. This movie seems to be in the same rhythm here, where it's a superhuman kind of thing, and by that I mean these main characters take a beating the entire movie, and then they just get up and go, "Ooh, is that all?"
Yeah, like,
but that's what Roadhouse.
So I'm going to offend people. Yes, it is my intent. I would say after Jarhead, Jake Gyllenhaal became this America douchey guy. You know what I mean? Like,
is that because of the Taylor Swift thing?
I don't know anything about Taylor Swift and him. All I know is from what I've seen in his films. And like, he was doing artistic stuff. Donnie Darko, Brokeback Mountain. Like, he was doing stuff that was not
Day After Tomorrow, which we can call the most artistic thing.
Right, there's some,
sorry,
there's
a
some,
joke.
There's a, No, they're don't.
Bubble
no,
Boy, of course, that some, beautiful piece of poetry there.
There's some stinkers. But after Jarhead, it just seems like a lot of dudes, you know, like Marines, like those kind of guys. You know, there's like Jake Gyllenhaal and Bradley Cooper, kind of guys. You know what I mean?
He definitely can play a certain role very well.
Right, because there was a movie that he was in with Tobey Maguire where they were Marines, and Tobey Maguire goes crazy. You know, it's like he's doing these roles. So him being in this movie is not a surprise. A person that is a surprise, you and I had an off-air conversation about Post Malone and acting, but a person that cannot act is Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Oh, my God.
It seemed like the director of this movie wanted Colin in there, and they really tried to workshop some acting, and they realized, oh, I guess he can do one thing really well, and that's smile and walk like he's clenching something between his cheeks. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why he was walking like Popeye, like da, 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 da. You know, like he was. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's so bad. And I'm a Conor McGregor fan when it comes to his profession. But my God, this guy sucks. Everybody sucks in this movie.
Yeah, and I think that's what the movie was going for. But it's one of those where I have a lot of questions. Because in the first movie, do you remember how much of the first Roadhouse do you remember?
A good 50%. I know it. No. Go ahead. Do your thing.
I feel in that movie, because that was a bit more of like a drug kingpin type of thing. That was more
right.
of like a cartel or a gang mafia. I don't know.
Right.
Kind of a syndicate kind of a thing. Just controlling the area, Ozark style, and just running house. Whereas this one, I feel it's really dumb because you have some rich guy who's like, I want to buy the Roadhouse so I can tear it down and build a hotel. And the best way I know how to do that is to hire a local biker gang and to go in there and beat them up. It's like, if you have this much money, I wouldn't think that you would need to hire local. You could do like political moves. Okay, so in the first movie, and I don't want to compare completely.
Sure.
But in the first movie, do you remember there was a part when, in effort to stop the Roadhouse from business, they took away their liquor. They stopped them from their product, from getting their liquor.
Makes sense.
I feel like if you have that much money and you run the police, you could probably do something like that. Challenge, take away their liquor license, you know, pull in some faulty reports and do like political moves rather than it just being some thugs going in there and bashing up some beer bottles and tables and causing a ruckus. It just seemed really, I don't know, weird.
Yeah, the idea, because our villains are not cartels, our villains are Donald Trump.
They're just capitalists. They're just rich boys.
Yeah.
They're the 1%.
Right. So I knew this movie was going to be interesting because we get this bar fight in the beginning with Post Malone with his man boobies.
That's an underground fight or kind of like a fight club.
Right. I actually thought of Fight Club. Post Malone is not kicking Shaq's butt. What I mean by that is that Post Malone, who's not a small guy, is fighting against Jelly Roll times two. You know what I mean? Like, just big guy.
Big old boy. Yeah.
And he's just beating the crap out. The CG is terrible. Post Malone, you could tell that he went for, like, a punch, and the director was like, cut! CG, right? Like, the CG's bad.
Well, yeah, it seemed like they had the camera fixed, and then they had one where Post was just punching air, and then they brought in the other guy to do a take two and have him just
CG
act
was
like he was getting punched.
And like Post Malone wins, and it's like, okay, so off-air conversation, I was like, okay, Post Malone is in this movie. So you don't hire Post Malone and then just have him, you know, be – I don't want to say the word, but I don't understand the idea of hiring Post Malone for 5 minutes to have him see Jake Gyllenhaal take off his shirt and then go, oh, I know who that guy is. I ain't gonna mess with this guy, and walks away. Like, really? Like, okay.
So I don't think he was hired. Like, the director's like, we gotta have Post Malone. I think Post Malone just has a really good agent, and they're trying to do that crossover where he's dipping into some movie cameos now. And
fair enough.
I think that this was just kind of the perfect role for it.
So what makes me realize this movie's going the way it's going is Jake Gyllenhaal shows up, sits down, takes off his hoodie. The dude's ripped, right? Like, I mean, like in real life, this is not CG. The guy's ripped. Good for him. You know, he ate an apple a day. Good job, right? And Post Malone's like, I ain't gonna fight this guy. Screw this. And it's a scam because this guy, spoiler, Jake Gyllenhaal's character was a decorated UFC fighter who can't control his anger, fought against his friend in a UFC octagon, lost his temper, and killed the guy in the octagon.
Yeah.
So everybody knows who Jake Gyllenhaal is in this movie.
Most everybody, yeah.
So when Post Malone sees him, he's like, screw it, I ain't going to fight this guy. So Jake Gyllenhaal is doing these scams. He's going to these underground fight clubs. He's presenting himself, and people know who he is, and he gets all this money. He goes out. He's walking back to his car, where I laughed out loud, Eric. Was this random guy runs up behind him and goes, hey, you cost me $500, and stabs Jake Gyllenhaal. And it brought me to Gangs of New York because he stabs him in the side.
Yeah.
When Bill the Butcher was teaching Leo, like, this is a kill and that's a kill. Remember that?
Yep, yep.
Stabs him like where I thought Bill the Butcher would say is a kill scene. And Jake Gyllenhaal just goes, ugh. That's it. And what does he say? He's like, do you really want to do this or something like that?
Yeah, he gives him a kind of a fair warning. It bothers me because for the rest of the movie, this guy, Dalton, by the way, is Jake Gyllenhaal's character. Not to be confused with, well, actually, maybe to be confused with Patrick Swayze's character, James Dalton. This is like Elwood Dalton, or whatever his name is. And he is able to tell when people have knives on them for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, that's funny too.
Richard's got a knife on his back.
Watch out as soon as he pulls it.
He's able to disarm people with guns, but for some reason he chose to get stabbed in the gut and then duct tape himself back together. What?
Yeah, I was pissed, right? Because I'm just like, oh, this is the movie that I'm getting. Because Jake Gyllenhaal gets stabbed. You, me, any tough guy, we're not tough guys like this guy, but you know what I mean? Like Conor McGregor gets stabbed in the gut or the spleen, he's probably going to go, ow! You know, like, you would think.
Dude, that was a big blade, too.
He got stabbed, and this woman shows up. And she was like, hey, I have this place called the Roadhouse and the Keys. And I need a bouncer. I was here to hire Post Malone, but everybody's afraid of you, so let's go. And I'm going to pay you $5,000 a week, $20,000 a month. Come help me. And he doesn't, of course, you know, the hero thing, right? But then eventually he gets on a bus and goes to the Keys. And I don't know if this is a joke. Forgive me. But he arrives at the Keys, and he goes to this bookstore ran by this father and daughter.
Uh-huh.
And Jake Gyllenhaal is so charming, so nice in this movie, right? He comes, he's smiling off the bus. He's very charming. He's very nice kind of guy. I'm just like, oh, okay, so this is our hero. You know, he's a nice guy. And he's like, hey, I'm trying to find this place. And they're like, yeah, it's called the Roadhouse. He's like, no, it's not the Roadhouse. It's called something else. And they're like, no, it's the Roadhouse. Do you get what I'm saying, though? Because that's literally the lines, like,
yeah.
Is this over my head? Like, I mean, why is he confused about the name? Like, are these bars called roadhouses or back in the day or something? Like,
well, because roadhouse is one word. and the bar is named the Road House. It's like it's two words.
Gotcha. Okay. So
Yeah,
that
I
was the
think
joke.
that they had talked about it, and it was just, is it dumb? Yeah. Does it add anything to the story? No. Does
No.
it? I don't. Just like you said, actually, it almost feels like this Dalton guy is Bruce Banner.
Nice. Yeah, that's a very good analogy there, right? He's traveling the earth like Kang in Kung Fu.
Yeah, exactly.
So he arrives to the Roadhouse. He meets the, what's her name? Frankie? Is that who?
Frankie, yeah.
Frankie. And she's just like, here's the bar. I actually dig the bar. I actually dig the bar more than the
Roadhouse.
Swayze, right? Because Swayze's bar was like this big square. You know, it didn't really have a character. I thought this bar was actually kind of cool. You walk in, it has like this, has like these teepee kind of like root, like these ceilings, and it had the band behind this
Cage kind of a
cage kind of thing.
little
Yeah,
tiki
like
bar, yeah.
it was a bar I would like to go to, but minus the fights. But like, it looked like a cool place.
Yeah, it was beach themed. I could totally see it being the tourist spot where people would go to the Keys, and when you're down that far on vacation, there's like the local bar, the dive bar, but then there's the party bar. And this one's a party bar for sure.
Does it piss you off to know that this movie did not once film in the Keys and the whole movie was filmed in the Dominican Republic?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't film this in Florida at all. This was all filmed in the Dominican Republic.
I'm sure it was cheaper and a tax break over there, too.
Jeez, oh, peace. But anyway, so he's there and she's just like, hey, you're here. Let's go to work. And I immediately am confused. And the reason why I'm confused is because he's like, okay, I'm going to sit at the bar. Okay, we have this fun, sassy bartender that he's cool with. But then, like, fights break out and he doesn't do anything. You know, he teaches, like, another bouncer how to,
Billy.
yeah, he teaches him how to fight. It's like, she hired you to bounce, to be the guy, and you're not doing anything.
Yeah, I think it was one of those calls where he's trying to, because in the original Roadhouse, Dalton is the head of security and he has a team, right? And he fires the people who he can't trust, but he ultimately has a crew that he can trust and helps them with it. It's not just a one-man job.
Right, but this movie doesn't have a crew that he trusts. He has Billy
Yes,
at
Billy,
this point.
and then he hires another
Eventually.
guy ev
Eventually. But,
eventually, sure.
right.
And I think maybe that his intention was he doesn't want to stick around because you know he attracts trouble. You don't want me around here. I'm a bad boy. And that maybe was the intention, or maybe it was such a little of a threat that he knew that, hey, listen, look at this other guy. It's not my worth my time. You can just pick these guys up by the collar and throw them out.
Right, which is what I'm assuming what it was until the bikers show up. I don't know any of the bikers' names. I don't care for you to explain to me the bikers' names. But they, among this group, they have the comic relief biker guy,
His name's Mo.
and that guy was my favorite character through the whole movie. Like he talks like me or you. He's just like, because the biker guys are in the bar, Jake Gyllenhaal gets him outside, right? Jake Gyllenhaal then says your stupid lines of, do you have insurance? They're like, what? I just want to know if you have insurance and where's the nearest hospital? It's like those douche lines. You know what I mean? That are just, yeah.
He's trying to be a friendly guy.
Right. And then he beats all these guys up, and then the comic relief guy, like the camera turns over Jake Gyllenhaal's shoulder, and his eyes like onto the comic relief guy, and he's just like, oh God, okay. And like Jake Gyllenhaal knows this guy's weak, so he just throws him. That's me. That's me, you know, like I'm just sitting there like you guys are getting your butts beat. I'm just like, oh God, okay.
Yeah,
Like that guy
like
was hilarious.
you gotta fight.
That guy was funny. The best scene in the movie, though, in my opinion, is that like Jake Gyllenhaal messes these guys up, dude. Like, Like, that's like the bro in me, right? Like, these guys get messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Broken bones, broken fingers. And then the next scene, cut, is him with a car full of the guys that he just beat up driving to the hospital like they're buddies.
Yeah.
I love that scene, actually. I actually really think that scene was hilarious.
He's a nice guy. He's just paid to do a job kind of a thing. And this is where we meet at the hospital with the love interest, right, Ellie?
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about forced.
Yeah. Boring, by the way, too. Right.
She's a nurse with a heart of gold who has a secret, and she doesn't want his kind around. And then Jake Gyllenhaal goes back to Frankie, the owner of the roadhouse, and she's just like, you can stay in my boathouse. And he's just like, okay, watch out for the crocodile. And then I look at Gina, and I go, somebody's going to get ate by a crocodile in this movie because brought it up.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Somebody's going to get ate.
I find her character to be...
Frankie or the nurse?
The nurse, Ellie, to be, like you said, very forced, especially because we find out later that she's the daughter of the sheriff, and the sheriff is working for the bad guy, and blah, blah, blah. And it does this thing where the movie tries to sell me that she's hot, and it's kind of like, remember that movie Magic Mike, where Channing Tatum is supposed to be falling for this girl, and you're just like, that her? Her,
yeah.
Like, she's kind of boring, and it's just, I don't know. I felt that Frankie was more attractive than this girl, maybe just because of the outfits, but it was just her.
Let's dive deeper, though. Okay, let's not just judge a woman by her looks, right? Let's actually dissect what this movie's talking about.
Sure,
you're welcome.
I'm
sorry. I made the joke because it's not her looks that bothers me. she's just bland. I mean, like, the actress is not good.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I'm not trying to go completely on the looks, even though that she's at best an Office 7. But
yeah.
But you're right. I'm not you know, who am I in Office 3? You know, I'm not trying to go by looks, but I agree with you. Same with the girl in Magic Mike, where it's just, can you give me more? Geez, Conor McGregor's giving me more.
Right. Yeah. No, the love interest is just bland. Frankie's a better. I actually liked the overweight bartender. She was more fun. She wasn't bland.
Laura. Yeah. She had some personality.
I liked her. She was fun, right? So now this is where we get the montage, right, of Jake Gyllenhaal cleaning up the riffraff, right? And he's teaching the guy, Billy, the other bouncer, how to identify that this guy is going to pull a knife, like you said. And then he goes to a surf shop or something and hires another guy to be a bouncer because he was in a fight. I don't know who this guy is. It's okay. And now he has his ragtag group, and they're cleaning up the mess. The backstory, the subplot is, there is, like you said, there's this rich tycoon, real estate tycoon, that's in jail for illegal activity. He has a son whose everything is going to. I knew this guy was a sleazeball, the son, because he was one of the henchmen in the Les Bond movie.
Yes.
No Time to Die. And he plays a very good sleazeball.
Yeah.
Like, if they were to remake Varsity Blues, he would be the Paul Walker role.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely has that look about him.
He's that guy, you know. And his son has his band of misfits that just are trying to destroy the roadhouse, to run everybody away so they can buy the land, and they just keep on failing time and time again. And this is when the head biker dude gets out of the hospital with his concussion and knows where Jake Gyllenhaal lives. Right?
Hey, this guy was in Game Night, by the way.
Date Night?
Game Night.
Oh, yeah, we never reviewed that.
You know that movie that we reviewed?
We never reviewed.
Your favorite movie? There it is. It's still the wrapping? No.
I can't take it out of the. A, I don't have it. Yes, I do have a Blu-ray player, PlayStation, but it's precious to me. That's why it's.
You want me to autograph that next time I see you?
I still have it in the wrapping. But this is when the guy gets ate by the alligator. This is the scene that we want, right? Like, they were hinting at it for a good chunk, right? The main biker dude.
He tries to kill him first by running him over with a truck.
That was him? That was stupid. Cut that out. Cut that scene out. Yeah, you're right. Jake Gyllenhaal is walking home, and then he was offered a ride. He's like, no, I'll walk. You know,
walks everywhere.
And there's this truck that's on the bridge and tries to run him over twice. Terrible CGI. Jake Gyllenhaal jumps into alligator-infested waters. He's completely okay. The truck even falls on him, I think? Or maybe it was too dark.
Close to him, but he survives because everything in this movie, he's able to survive, no matter if it's a boat crash or an explosion with dynamite or stabbing or repeated beatings or should I keep going or
no because
or a backbreaker or a suplex onto a cement floor
or multiple stabs to the gut.
Yeah, so you know, he gets up and he's ready to fight,
right? So then this is when he goes back to his boathouse. And that guy's there, and Jake Gyllenhaal is still such a nice guy. He's just like, hey, bud, why are you pointing that gun at me? He's like, because, man, it's stop with this roadhouse stuff, you know? Like, right?
We're just trying to kill you, man. We're just trying to do our job.
Yeah, and then they have a scuffle. Dude falls overboard, and Jake Gyllenhaal throws the weapon in the water. Guy's like, idiot. Jake Gyllenhaal's like, I don't know about that. And then here comes the alligators, tears the guy apart. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, I said it because my alligator knowledge for some reason. But I say to my wife, they're not going to find the body. This was before the next scene. She was like, what? I was like, they're not going to find the body. Alligators, what they do is they take you down. They break all your bones. They drown you. And then they bury you. And they come back and eat you later. She's like, what? And then literally the next scene, you have all these cops. And then, like, that one hobo guy's like, you ain't gonna find him. He broke all of his bones and they buried him.
The food.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm such a jerk. So then this is when the dad, who we don't know, we never see him, is in prison, calls the son. Son doesn't take the call. And dad contacts Conor McGregor. And the director of this movie decides, hey, we're going to take this retired UFC guy, and his introduction ever in major cinema is jumping out of an Italian woman's window, Terminator style, butt naked, and we're going to have a gratuitous butt shot of him walking naked through a market because Michael Bay.
Yep.
What? Now, guy butt doesn't bother me, right? I'm not complaining about that. It's just the introduction of the character. Like, it's like, does Conor McGregor know that he's a Looney Tune in this? I mean, does he know what he's doing?
I think so. Like, it's not like it's disguised or anything else. I'm looking at what the director has, what else he's done, by the way. Doug Liman is the director, and his
done nothing.
It's not going to surprise you. So the director of Roadhouse, he's done many other things.
Right, nothing course, good.
But you've heard a lot of this stuff.
Give me two.
Jumper, Edge of Tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
He directed Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah. The Bourne Identity.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Edge of Tomorrow are legitimately good movies.
Go.
Edge of Tomorrow and Mr. and Mrs. Smith are legitimately good movies. Like, this guy directed those?
Yep, he did. He did a few parts of the two episodes of The OC, which I know you love so much.
I've never watched an episode. Wow, this guy had two good movies in his filmography.
Done a lot of TV and TV movies. Other than that, that's a TV series.
Do you think that Conor McGregor is such a star that he decided how his character was going to act, or do you think this was written? Like, do you think the director was like, I want you to walk literally like a gorilla, you know, because you're big?
I don't think he can walk any other way. I think that's just him walking naturally.
Like now, I've seen him walk like that guy. That was exaggerated. Also, so we, like I said, we introduced to him jumping out of this Italian woman's window, and he's walking naked through this market. All the fine clothes, a la Terminator, right?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much what this was. It was theft.
Oh, yeah.
And he finds a guy that matches his physique, steals the guy's shirt, and then the next scene he burns the market down?
Yeah, again, I think this is just kind of showing that Knox, the character that he's playing, is just a chaotic, psycho, wild card type of guy.
Okay.
He's getting called in, and he's just this guy you don't mess with. He's just the alpha male.
Arms folded. This is the Dolph Lundgren of the movie, right? This is,
yeah.
This is that. Okay, fine. So now
you know what's happening in this entire movie. Like, you can guess everything that's going to happen.
Well, I'm stalling for a reason, because sure. I want to talk about. I'm stalling because I think that there's a good part of the movie where I turn for the positive for a good 20 minutes, and then I turn back to negative. I'll get to that soon.
Okay.
Because I really don't want your – I don't want to ruin it, because it's towards the end, but not 100% the end.
There's no way you can ruin it. This movie's already ruined it itself.
How about this? Can I explain when I turn for the positive?
Of course.
Okay. Off kilter here. So – Jake Gyllenhaal fights Conor McGregor. He loses and he walks away. Conor McGregor wins and they start to tear the place apart.
This
right?
is the first bar fight.
Right, the first bar fight. And then the rich guy's friends, his goons, burn down the book depository.
That's after.
Right, I know that's after. Right, this is my point of when I turned for the positive.
Okay,
right?
Okay, okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal has a past. We've seen some images of him in UFC fights, but we don't know everything about it yet. He's charming as hell. Everybody seems to like him, right? There's good quality things about this guy.
Uh-huh.
But I turn on the movie for the positive because the bookstore gets burnt. He immediately goes to the rich guy's henchman's house, and there's the long-haired, slick-back dude by the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just walks in smiling, Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's like, hey – did you burn down that bookstore? And he's just like, yes, I did. You know, they're in the hospital. And then out of nowhere, Jake Gyllenhaal punches the guy in the throat. We've seen that 1,000 times. But it's the line that Jake Gyllenhaal says, where he was like, I just destroyed such and such bone. Your larynx is now closed. You're not going to be able to breathe. You are dead.
Yeah.
And the guy falls in the pool. And I was like, oh, my God, Jake Gyllenhaal is a murderer.
this is where Bruce Banner becomes the Hulk.
Not just the Hulk, but it's like we're supposed to root for this guy, and all of a sudden this guy snaps and he's a murderer. And then he's like, and then the truth of the whole UFC thing happened, like I said earlier, right, where he got really angry and he killed a guy in the ring.
And you and wouldn't like me when I'm angry,
right? And then he says that line.
I think he says
too.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, there's a darkness in me. And when it gets out, I get angry, and it's just like, I got excited, Eric. And the reason why I got excited, why I'm getting excited now, is because this movie is bland. This movie is boring. This movie is Cobra, you know, Sylvester Stallone. Like, it's stupid. But as soon as he kills a guy and says that line of, I have crushed your larynx, you're going to die now. See you later. Bye-bye. And then he takes the body, puts him on ice. And then he has this whole elaborate plan of killing cops. I'm just like, oh, the movie's turned.
Yeah, the movie started at this point.
Yeah, like, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's not our hero. This guy's the villain. This guy's killing people.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's killed anybody at this point in time.
Not yet.
He does.
I'm trying to think if – no, I don't think – I think you're right.
He does. Our hero kills the first person. And I'm just like, oh, is this how the movie's going to go? He's just going to be the psycho? Like, now I'm interested.
Yeah. Now we're going. No, you're right, because he gets that guy. He gets the info from Mo, your comic relief guy, that there's going to be a drug deal going down. He gets the body, put it on ice. He goes to the boat where the sheriff is taking the money to bring to the bad guy. And what hits the sheriff? Knocks out the sheriff?
Knocks out the sheriff, but then also
takes the dead body out of the cooler, takes the sheriff's gun and shoots the guy to make it look like it was the sheriff that did it, and then knocks the sheriff out with the concussion, right? And then he takes the money. He steals the money.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my God, like, this is not what I was expecting. This guy's a murderer now. He's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. I'm invested into this movie.
Oh, yeah, and then he stole the dynamite that was at the house, too.
Right, from his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend's boat, who was also a cop. We also have a stupid scene, too, where the girlfriend and him ride out into the middle of the ocean, and they're on the sandbar, and they're drinking beers. He's like,
just like Magic Mike.
Right. And he's just like, I didn't know this was a date. I don't want you to know me. And then she has that strong female line of, you don't tell me who I can not like, and I'm going to give you a kiss anyway. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
So I know I'm a little elevated, right, on this, but did you at all feel what I felt when he killed a guy with a punch in the throat? Like, and then he screws with the sheriff. Like this movie's turned. Oh, he's now a killer.
Yeah, no, I was checking my phone before this, and then when that happened, I was like, oh, okay, we're getting some action now, and that's what you want. Because before, just like you said, I liked the bar fight scenes. I want,
right,
give me the roadhouse, give me him bouncing and doing the things, and we weren't getting a whole lot of that. And
right,
it just seemed like, if I was a tourist and I heard that the roadhouse is like, oh, that's where a lot of bar fights happen. It's like, well, okay, maybe we'll just go to the store and get a six pack then and just hang out at the hotel.
Right.
It seems ridiculous that in a bar like that, where it's just good vibes, man, that there's something there's just a guy who's just brings in a knife. He's just like, girl, who wants to fight? I'm drunk. But it does happen, unfortunately. I have seen that happen before.
I don't understand why every time we go to the Roadhouse, there's a new band, and the new band, no matter what happens, continuously plays.
Yeah, dude, Frankie must be cleaning up, man. If she's just paying Dalton that much money a week, if she has enough money to pay for a new band every night almost, but at the same part, it just seems like whether there's a truck in the bar or a boat in the deck, people are going to be coming in. Is the bar open?
And Conor McGregor ripped the cage open that separates the bar from the band from the people, and they still were playing.
Yeah. Still come back, man. Like,
yeah. I mean, dude, this is a reference. It wasn't going to happen, of course, but I was waiting for the band to grow fangs and their instruments were bodies, and, you know, dinner's now served.
There was that in that huge fight.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good call. It was a, there was a part in that, the first Knox scene where he comes in to do the bar fight before the cops came, where there were people fighting on the catamaran that was above the bar. So what is going on? And just like the cost of pool sticks alone, oh, poor Frankie, you got to be spending a fortune on that.
It gets, so then I'm praising the movie, and then I turn after Jake Gyllenhaal tries to frame the cop or the sheriff. Then it goes into a rescue mission where the actual sheriff goes to Jake Gyllenhaal's boat. He's like, they kidnapped my daughter. Where's the money? And he's like, nah, I'm going to go to the guy. And then we get to the yacht fight.
Oh, hold on. Should we talk about how the scene where, what was it, after the date, right, where Jake Gyllenhaal, or Dalton, excuse me, goes back to his houseboat where he's been staying this entire time. And as soon as he gets off of Ellie's ex-boyfriend's boat, his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend's boat, that he gets apprehended by the local sheriff, by the sheriff, and they take him down to the docks, and where we get to meet Big Dick.
That's where I knew this movie was small bag territory, when they were like, you know, my friends call me Big Dick. He's like, I ain't going to call you that.
I'm not going to call you that. And right. We get this sheriff, and you could tell that he's very much doing the intimidation thing because he's in the pocket of Ben, the bad guy here, the douchey son. And he's doing his intimidation check on Dalton. Of course, flexing the badge, and then got him out at the part where he's out of the car, doing the kick, throwing a gun in his face. When he was being apprehended, though, Ellie, the potential girlfriend, saw that he was being apprehended, and so she quick docks the boat, gets into a car, and goes, because she knows exactly where it's going down. And she saves Dalton by coming up, and this is where we find out that she is the daughter of the sheriff. She comes up and she smacks him. How dare you? And then she gets Dalton and basically saves him.
Is that the name of the girlfriend, Ellie?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, not to repeat myself.
Little
she's
Dick?
She's terrible.
She's, again, the acting in this movie is not what needed, because Conor McGregor, Ellie, Post Malone.
I actually
most of the bar staff and the thugs. It's not good acting.
How about this though? Controversial opinion. Is Conor McGregor the best actor in the movie simply because he smart enough to realize what movie he was making? I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal took this seriously. Obviously, look at his body, right?
Yeah.
And the other actors were just there because, hey, they haven't worked in 6 months, and they're going to bring home a paycheck.
Sure.
Everybody else was here for a paycheck. Conor McGregor, he looked like he was having a blast, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he was on a vacation in Dominican Republic, probably, and I don't think he did do a lot of research for the role. He was just...
No,
walking around being Conor McGregor.
I think he just had a blast doing it, and like he just reminded me of Bane from like Dark Knight Rises. You know, like this big guy that just—I don't know.
He's supposed to be the intimidating psycho, and he played that very well. He doesn't need to act for it. He just needs to go in there and look crazy, and he did. He did fine with the role that he was given. It just wasn't much of a role.
Well, I would argue that he was a role, because then we get Jake Gyllenhaal going to the boat to save the girlfriend, Ellie, and then he makes that jerk, stupid, written comment of to the bad guy. He was like, ooh, a double cross, and the sheriff does his thing. He's like, ooh, another double cross, and now I'm going to...
Oh, boy, the one-liners in this movie got real cheesy at the end.
Yeah, no, the whole double crossing was bad. And then he has TNT on the boyfriend's boat, explodes, the yacht's sinking, Titanic, haha, thought of it, ha. And then the complete nonsense, right? Now we're in crazy town, right? Where Conor McGregor is on another boat and he's running people over, and somehow Jake Gyllenhaal gets on the boat and knocks Conor McGregor over, and then Conor McGregor grabs onto this rope.
Well, we get some one-liners because, yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal, Dalton, for some reason ends up getting onto this dinghy with an engine on it. And I don't know how he does. And so Dalton and Knox are on this boat, and Knox has an anchor. And what does he say? It's like, oh, look at this, our own little octagon.
Yeah.
And Dalton says, Do you know what shapes are?
Yeah, who taught you shapes?
Yeah, kind of a thing. It's
nobody would ever talk like that. And
some bad one-liners were already said, but now we're getting into real, because some other ones are said after this during their fight in the bar.
Yeah, no, we're getting into Cobra Commando territory. Like, we're getting into that world.
So they fight. Knocks off of the boat. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. I'm sorry. I don't want to go into detail, but what pissed me off was, because the movie has already pissed me off, but Knox is on this rope, and they crash, or something happens, and the camera shows Knox's body just flying through the air, like skipping over the water. I'm like, oh, every bone in his body is broken? Nope. He's completely fine, right? And then the main bad guy is on the top of the speedboat.
He's on another boat, yeah.
Right, and they crash land on, obviously, of course, they have to crash land on the back door of the roadhouse. And the bad guy flies, you know, like debris through the air on top of a roof, and he's completely fine.
Again, this is because – so the bad guy, Ben, is on this other speedboat. And while Knox and Dalton were on the dinghy, Dalton overpowers Knox off the boat. Yada yada. He's on, and Dalton speeds up to this speedboat. I guess Ben, the bad guy, is cruising away, and he also has Ellie with him on the boat, of course, right? And they do a little scuffle, a little punch, and back and forth, and you know, eventually he overpowers her and says, "Sit down," kind of a thing.
Right.
Number one is when Dalton collides with the boat. It's like a side collision with the boat, and he jumps as he collides to where he's in air, and then like
lands.
Grabs on. Yeah,
it was amazing. It was terrible.
No bones broken. He's able to, you know, be a little dazed. And he gets up, no problem. This is after the explosion, by the way, where he was, you know, 20 feet away from
shell shocked.
Yeah, exactly. He's able to get up from that. Anyway, then just like you said. They're speeding towards the roadhouse bar. They jump out early onto the reef, and the boat takes air, and the guy backs up. So then they're swimming.
Yeah.
Knox swims at least 5 miles into shore, no problem, with shoes on.
Right, and then Knox steals a truck, and he drives the truck in the front of the bar. Takes off his shirt. Johnny Knoxville. Jake Gyllenhaal takes off his shirt. And this is
the final fight.
I will give it this, right? Because I thought about this when I was watching it. This is the best non-Mortal Kombat / Mortal Kombat fight in a movie. I mean, and we reviewed Mortal Kombat, the remake. Like, this was a good fight.
They beat the crap out of each other.
They beat the hell out of each other. There's, I mean, my God, Eric, the things that these guys were doing, and the stupid one-liners, right? Like Knox has Jake Gyllenhaal on a piano, and his head's getting bashed in, and he's like, "I think the piano's out of tune."
Yeah, that was.
It's like, really? Yeah, I'm just like, and then Knox's like, "Sounds good to me," you know?
Yeah,
this is so bad, so bad. And then Knox grabs a knife, and I think he stabs Jake Gyllenhaal in the same.
It's a
spot.
It's a shiv. It's like a wood.
Shiv?
It's like a sharpened piece of wood from all the debris from the boat and from all the damage that they've done, or from the car or something like that. Which at this point there are just sharpened wooden stakes everywhere now.
Why not, dude? It was a good Mortal Kombat fight. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of brought me to the opening of the reboot of Mortal Kombat, right? With Scorpion, Sub-Zero in the beginning. Like, it was a pretty good fight.
Yeah. Listen, they beat the crap out of each other. And again, with everything, because the sound effects were like bones crunching. And it was a lot. It really was. These guys beat the crap out of each other. I didn't mind this part of the movie, but it was just one of those where after, there's no consequence. You know, after every flip or after every move that they would do and they'd get hit, the guys, you know, you get bash on the back of the head, and then they just get up, shake it off, and continue to fight. It's just like, what the hell is happening here?
No, I agree. Right? It's Mortal Kombat when it's not supposed to be, because you can suspend your disbelief with a concept like Mortal Kombat. This is supposed to be our reality. And then Conor McGregor gets messed up by Jake Gyllenhaal, stabs him with a prison shiv multiple times, right? And then gets the two woods and the shoulders, and Jake Gyllenhaal, and then Conor McGregor is supposedly dead.
Yep.
You know, supposedly he's dead.
He dead.
No, he's not. You just stayed for the mid credit scene.
There's a mid credit scene?
Yeah, there's a mid credit scene. Oh. He escapes. Conor McGregor escapes from the hospital.
Alive. Oh God. Okay.
You're right. I didn't know that. I turned the movie off as soon as Jake Gyllenhaal got on the bus. I was like, that's the end of the movie. So then I was reading up about it, you know, and then they said there was a mid-credit scene of Conor McGregor leaving the hospital. But anyway, so yeah, I'm like, the movie ends with Jake Gyllenhaal giving the drug money that he stole to the book kid and her dad. He doesn't say goodbye to Frankie. He doesn't even say goodbye to Ellie. He just gets on a bus, black-eyed, and off to his next adventure.
Yep.
Mad Max style.
Yep.
Right. So, popcorn rating, Eric. I'm actually kind of torn. Like, I was telling my wife, I was like, this is either a no bag or a small. Like it doesn't get more or less. Like, it's not a bag of kernels. Like, this is not Meg territory.
No, no. You want me to go?
Eric, what's your popcorn rating?
I'd say it's a small bag for sure. I think that there was potential here, and again, it's playing to the crowd. It really is, but I wouldn't recommend this movie to anybody. It is a half an hour too long. It's a 2-hour runtime here. Jake Gyllenhaal did fine. Colin McGregor did fine, just because the characters aren't supposed to be anything else. But you could have cut out, I think, a lot of the character building and just had a few more fights in there that would have been fine. Or added in, if you were to add in more comedy to this movie, I think that would have been funny as well, too. That would have been good. But it's just a dumb movie, and it's an action movie. The action scene at the end was pretty cool. That final fight. I don't understand the bad guy. Movies like this where the bad guy is completely dumb and just making really, really dumb decisions, it bothers me. It's like you're supposed to be the bad guy. You're supposed to be the villain. You're not supposed to be just some idiot with money, and that's it. That's your super villain power, is that you have.
Yeah, he's not even a killer.
Yeah, it's silly to me. But yeah, I think there was some parts in here in this movie that hit. I think most of it missed, and that's basically what it is. If you wanted to, you're better off seeing the original.
Well, okay. So according to our website, A Small Popcorn is a film that is not really good, involving many issues, and we don't think you should see this movie at all. But go ahead if you must. And a no popcorn, according to our website, is don't see this movie. Not a movie that has anything good about it whatsoever. We suffered so you don't have to.
Yeah.
So, like, that's where I'm at right now. Did we suffer so the audience doesn't have to? I mean, like, it says on our site that this movie has nothing redeemable about it. So I guess it's not a no bag. I guess it is a small bag because we did say the fights were cool. I think we kind of praised Conor McGregor because I think he knew what he was doing. But
yeah.
But Jake Gyllenhaal pissed me off, man, because we got this guy who we're following who's just this nice guy. And then all of a sudden he's a murderer. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like,
I liked that part. I thought it was getting good at that part. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is why Jake Gyllenhaal picked this role. Like, there's something to this character. And he forgot about that after a while. So, you know, he forgot about that he was a killer, and nobody's going to remember that he crushed a guy's larynx. I mean, yes, a small bag, of course.
You want to give it a no bag, huh?
No, because I want to say if this is a Sunday 10 o'clock morning on TNT, this would be great.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a good way of putting
right?
it.
Right? You know, like, something to start the day with, you know? I just, It's fine. I'm going to go back and watch the original before I watch this one. But it's fine. It's overall small. I want to give it a no bag, but it's not.
This is an airplane movie for sure.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
This is a movie where, like, if you have a TV in the kitchen and you're going to spend the whole day cleaning the kitchen, like the oven, you know what I mean, and cleaning the refrigerator and cleaning behind the stove and stuff.
Yeah.
That this is on in the background.
You can watch this movie in the background and not miss a beat.
Right. And then you're like, after halfway through cleaning the kitchen, you make yourself a sandwich and you're sitting down. You're just like, oh, look at this. You know, why are you in a sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's this movie. I'm glad we reviewed it, though, because, like, I actually like these reviews with you because I'm curious where you're coming from, where I'm coming from. Movies like this are just
ridiculous. Hey, we got to review the good and the bad.
We do. So, yeah, a small for me, a small for you. Everybody that's listening, if you like the original, check it out. If you don't care, we don't care. You know, like, it's fine for what it is.
I wouldn't pay money for it. This is on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I would say save your money. Pirate this movie.
We do not condone pirating them. Anyway. But no, it's fine. So with that being said, thank you everybody for listening to this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And like always, we'll be back next Thursday for another awesome episode. Eric, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back next Thursday. Have a good night. You know the YouTube show Hot Ones, right?
I do.
Right. I love that show. I don't watch all the interviews. I just watch the people that I want to watch, like Shaq and Gordon Ramsay and Stone Cold. So I'm on their website tonight after dinner because I had some serrano peppers and stuff for dinner. And they have a corn hot sauce from Hot Ones. Hot Ones made a corn hot sauce. And, of course, it's infused with corn, chipotle, and stuff like that, right? But the name of the hot sauce is ridiculous. I want to buy it. It's $12. Here to slay.
Okay.
Terrible name for a corn hot sauce. I don't think the song Here to Stay is something that you think about when you think of corn. You would think Freak on the Leash. So, I don't know, Blind, maybe? So, I wanted to know off the top of your head, what would be your ideal name for a corn hot sauce?
Oh, man. What was that one that their first big hit that was on TRL all the time?
Got the Life?
Got the Life, yeah. Got the Spice?
Yeah, Got the Spice. That's a lot better than Here to Slay. That sounds like a Christmas thing, right?
Yeah. Now that you say it.